Hey, I'm Jordan Donica.
Hey, I'm Bill Posley.
Hey, this is Michaela Brewster.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Cephas-Jones, and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Call and Response Podcast with Felicia Fitzpatrick. And y'all, it is officially the holiday season for those who had to wait till after Thanksgiving to enjoy all of the festivities. But as we know for myself, I've been celebrating for a long time now because I am a Christmas baby and enjoy the holiday season. Like just last weekend, my friend Tara and I had a holiday movie double feature with two of our favorite holiday movies, The Family Stone and The Holiday. I mean, it was a full-on quote-along with both movies, every line delivered with gusto and passion. And because we had seen both so many times, we knew every line, the cadence, the intonation. And it's like, maybe we should have our own two-hander live version of those movies so everyone could enjoy our enthusiasm. But until then, you can check out another live adaptation of a holiday movie, Love Actually, the unauthorized musical parody. You'll get the awkward meet-cutes, over-the-top grand gestures, and, of course, Mr. Bean. And as y'all know, that's just the beginning with Gold Star. They provide affordable tickets to theater, comedy shows, concerts, and so much more. So download Gold Star, and let's make some memories, y'all. And I know every week I'm like, oh, I'm so hype. I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited to interview that week's guest. And guess what? This week is no exception. I'm so hyped. I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited to introduce this week's guest. You definitely have seen her in Hamilton, Blindspotting, and she's currently starring in Cyrano. The reason I'm so obsessed with her, and I don't know if she remembers this, but back in March, she read one of the first pieces I ever wrote for the public consumption, which is at the 50 and 50 event down in Brooklyn. So we're gonna have to get into that too. So I feel a special kinship with her. But y'all, it is Jasmine Cephas-Jones. Give it up. Hey. Hi. So like I was saying, you read my piece. That was the first time I'd ever written anything like that.
Oh my God. Yes, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was such an incredible like day just to be on the stage with those like powerful women reading like those powerful pieces.
It was like a star-studded event.
I know, it was so intense, but it was like amazing. Like it was so amazing, and I just felt like the history just of everything in all aspects and like corners of life. It was awesome.
And you guys didn't have that long to rehearse even, right?
No, didn't. We had a day. We did that all like in a day.
Did they assign you? Did they just assign you the piece, or you were like?
Yeah, no. They just assigned
That's
us the
so
pieces.
Cosmic. Yeah.
And we were just like, let's do it, and we just kind of like ran with it. And you know, there's something kind of beautiful when you don't like really work on a piece that long, and it's like you're not really focusing like how good you're doing. You just kind of like dive in, and sometimes like magic happens.
Yeah, you know, it's like that. Visceral in that way. I cried not just because they were my words, but just because I thought you did such a beautiful job reading them. And I really want, like, after that night I was like, oh, I would be so fascinated one day to talk to her about like biracial identity. Because you grew up in Brooklyn.
I grew up in Brooklyn,
which I feel like is a little different than the town that I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. But I mean, I am curious, like, I feel like with other biracial people that I've talked to, like, sometimes we feel a sense of duality between our different heritages. And I'm just curious on what your experience
has been.
For sure.
I mean, I was born in London, Hammersmith.
Oh,
so
snap.
I have, like, I've definitely felt that growing up. I have this whole, like, English side to me and, like, this English culture that, like, I'm very close to. And then I have, like, my father who's, like, this black actor that has worked his behind off to get his respect and like worked really hard at Shakespeare and you know, to just be like really credited and known for like the art and the work that he puts in. So I've always kind of had sometimes like the split, am I more this or am I more that, or what am I, type of feeling. For sure. And like how people treat me and how I must see myself, and you know, just kind of like claiming what you are and where you are and claiming your space, you know.
Absolutely. And I feel like as an artist, casting can kind of play into that too, like
100%. When
you are, you know, what 100%. What are your experiences with that?
With me, it's like it's been a little weird because I also kind of like look, I feel like people think I'm like Latina, you know. So there's like that, and then sometimes like I'm not too white for a role, or don't look too black for a role. Mm-hmm. I've gotten that. I've kind of gotten everything under the sun, and that's why I don't know. I just try to like push out of the box, and I just never want to be boxed in as something or like thought as one thing, because I do really see myself as very like worldly and kind of like a whole bunch of things that make me who I am.
Absolutely.
If that makes any sense.
It does. Well, and even I didn't realize you were born in London, but your mom's British. Like having that duality too of like American versus England, I would imagine plays into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's tricky when I feel like the artistic entertainment world in particular, like, is very much like, oh, we need to categorize you. And when you don't fit into that, it can be tricky to navigate.
Yeah.
I was curious with your parents as well, obviously being amazing artists in their own right, how did they influence you getting into performing arts?
Well, my mom's a singer,
mm-hmm.
and she had the most amazing, dopest music collection in the world.
Yes.
In our house. I'm talking about records, CDs. She took me to one of my first concerts, which was Prince.
Wow.
She's insane, and she can sing her butt off. And has been influenced by so much music around the world. And her first love is jazz.
Okay.
So she started out in the National Youth Jazz Orchestra in England, the same jazz kind of band that like Amy Winehouse started in.
Okay.
And so she's kind of like from that world. And so like she really opened my mind up to really, really like good music.
Yeah.
And my dad, I mean, took me around. I was like that theater kid that was like doing her homework in the lighting booth, because the lighting person was like watching me, because, you know, he was on stage, I don't know, doing a Stephen Adley Gierges play and playing like a Lucius, like an intense role. And I was watching this at like 11, and I probably shouldn't have been watching it at that age. You know, people saw like young kids saw like rated R movies when they probably shouldn't see them. I didn't see rated R movies, but I saw my dad play really messed up characters at a really young age. Probably shouldn't have seen that, but I had an amazing, I had a very different childhood, and like really grew up in like creative spaces. And I knew from a really young age like the difference and how to turn something off and how to turn it on, like turn it on as a character and like transform and to separate the two at a very young age. So I think like, I don't know, the way that I approach things, I don't know, I just take them like very seriously, and I try to analyze and really like do my homework and you know, kind of go for it. So,
because they taught you that discipline,
yeah,
like what you need to succeed. Mm-hmm. So did you ever resist getting into performing arts because of that, or were you just like hitting the ground running?
Well, I always went to performing arts schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like New York has some amazing performing arts schools and programs, and I never went to private school, but I always went to like a specialized like performing school.
Like a magnet, yeah.
That was like, yeah. And so I was always doing singing, and it wasn't until like high school, until I played Edith in Pirates of Penzance, where I was like, oh, I kind of want to do this, because I also grew up knowing like how hard it is,
right,
and how hard it is to be an artist and like have a kid and like survive on like following your dreams and doing on having multiple jobs and still fighting for like your creative self while like having a child. So I was not blind to that, because my parents, you know, they also went through it, like, so like I wasn't blind to the reality of the situation of being an artist. So I'm sure like that was kind of a part of it. But then it's almost in my blood where I don't know, I just couldn't escape it.
Of course.
And it just crept up to me and it was like, come on, Jazz, like what else are you gonna do? Like
what else are you gonna do?
So when you started taking your own steps as your own like artistic self, who were some of the like influences and inspirations you had or were looking up to?
Well, there's a lot of people in Labyrinth Theater Company that I grew up watching that were like my idols, like Elizabeth Canavan, Liza Colon Zayas, Portia, John Ortiz, Sam Rockwell, Elizabeth Rodriguez. There's so many people that I grew up watching on stage. Philip Seymour Hoffman directed a couple of plays and was artistic director of Lab, and Steven Aligirgis. Like, these are all people that were so fierce and so New York and so like gritty and just like that black box theater where it's so intimate and like you just can't escape the reality and groundedness of a performance and the real in the moment true, like it's acting school almost. And it, like I remember after college, after I left the Neighborhood Playhouse for theater for like 2 years, I was like studying like Meisner method acting. And I went straight to the theater company and like I did every reading. I did every festival. I did all the barn series. I like helped clean the theater. I did all the intensives. I like went upstate with them and I like worked with every director I could and like really learned how to like analyze a script and like, I don't know. I it was almost like another form of like learning or another year of school and training, which was really, 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 really dope. I forgot what the question was.
Me too, but I love what you had to say. I was just like, yeah, go on.
My influence. And my favorite actor of all time is Gary Oldman.
Okay.
He's like he is so transformative as an actor that has really captured my eye in a way that I was like that is a goal for me. Mm-hmm. And I think like as a woman of color to be like transformative like in a way I feel like we don't really see that a lot.
Sure.
And I was like, I want to be my own version of like whatever that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to transform and I don't want to be boxed in anything. And I want to do character work. I want to kind of like do it all.
No, totally. And I mean, hearing you say that, like, I feel like you've achieved that with your work thus far. I mean, because I mean, obviously, you know, because you're a part of it. But like Hamilton obviously has changed the game in so many different ways that we don't have time to list right now. But you are such a huge part of that. And what does that feel like to know that you are now a Gary Oldman for someone?
I don't know. It's so crazy to even think that or whatever. I feel like I still have so much to do and so many more things to achieve. Hamilton will forever be a part of me. It's just one of those things. And like I was talking about it this today with somebody, but like the thing that I leave with is the people that I met, and like the friendships and the like the sisterhood with Renee and Pippa. Like they will always be my sisters. Like even David, like I love that dude. I met my fiance in that show. Yeah. It's just like it's a part of us, you know. It doesn't define me, but it is a huge, huge part of me. And it catapulted my career in a way that I will forever be grateful for. And to be a part of history, it's like, it's just a little weird. It's kind of like, wow, did we do that?
Right, because you were living it. Yeah.
You know, totally. Like, it's just, I don't know. It was a crazy, crazy time. And it was everything. It was yeah. everything. It really was.
I'm glad to hear you say that you were able to, like, have these special connections, and obviously relationships come out of that, because as much as it meant to everyone, like, we all love it. Like, I think it is important to not lose yourself in that experience that it meant so much to other people. Mm-hmm. And I was curious to know, like, when you finally left, were you worried that it was going to define the rest of your career? Like, I think of, like, Daniel Radcliffe and Harry Potter. And I'm like, yeah. Do you, like, when you have an iconic role like that?
I feel like my role wasn't that big for, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like also, like, I changed character as well, mm-hmm. you know, in it. And I kind of got to, like, transform in my own way in that show.
Yeah.
So I wasn't just, like, one character in the show. I wasn't Peggy. Like, and the two characters were so different mm-hmm. from each other. So I didn't really feel like it didn't define me. I felt like it was, obviously it was a part of me, but when I came out, I was like, there's so much more to me that I need to show the world, that people still mm-hmm. have no idea, like, the capability that I can do as an artist.
Right.
And, like, that was, like, my goal, like, once I got out of, like, that's kind of what I was focused on. I was like, yeah, I did this, and this was cool, and, like, but, like, there's so much more that... Right. I can do and, like, share.
More transforming to do.
More transforming.
And then, of course, after you were able to work with David on Blindspotting and Rafa, which I feel like was a great little, like, pivot, if you will, because it was, like, mm-hmm. film. It was a different role. Mm-hmm. And you guys shot on location in Oakland for that, right? Mm-hmm. How was that going cross-country from New York?
Oh, my God, it was everything. I love Oakland. I literally landed there, and I was like, this feels like home. There's a...
Really?
Oh, my God. Wow. I love it. Like... just even the way that people speak, there's, like, a heightened musicality, like, in their mm-hmm. in their the way that they speak, and, like, the history there, and it's such a vibrant city.
Yeah,
it's a vibrant city, and I, like, fell in love with it.
Yeah,
I really did.
I know you had done film work before, but does this feel like a different experience since you were so close with the collaborators?
It felt super special because it was also, like, my friends that I'm very close with have been working on, it was their baby. They've been working on it for 10 years. So mm-hmm. like, not only to just, like, step aside and see, like, my friends, like, make their first feature film, and it was really, really good. But, like, then now to also be a part of that and mm-hmm. to, like, heighten and help, like, that with the character Ashley, I'm just super proud of them, and, like, and the fact that, you know, they believed in me so much, and immediately yeah. like, they just pushed me to my best self. So I'm like, super grateful for yeah. them, but also, like, we're just all fans of each other, and, like, I was saying before, like, you just have to, like, you have to find your tribe, and I felt yeah. like we kind of feel like the Rat Pack almost.
I love that.
But it's like, we all know, like, what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when you find your tribe and you all come together, like, you just write dope stuff for each other, and you mm-hmm. want to, like, perform in each other's pieces with each other. And somebody will, like, you know, Raf helped me when I started, like, writing my EP, when I first started writing my own music. Like, he like, was there with me and hooked me up with his friend Samora, who like, now is he helped me write the song called Wild Thing, which is one of the songs on my EP. So it's just like,
yes.
you know, it's like, that's what it's about. It's about yeah. finding your tribe, finding your people, and, like, working off with each other and working with people that bring out the best in you and bring out even, like, more than what you thought that you were capable of.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's very powerful.
And to have that, like, inherent trust.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Of, like, we can make something because mm-hmm. I know we can trust each other and we'll tell each other the truth.
But, I mean, that's what, like, Lin has his tribe. Lin has his, like, he's got his cabinet. He's mm-hmm. got his people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the reason why, like, In the Heights got made and, like, right. you know, like.
Right.
Tommy gave him deadlines for, like, Hamilton. He was like, make sure, like, do this by this, you know, like,
right.
you gotta you got to have that. And, you know, it's great.
Yeah. What was it like, speaking of that, growing up like on the downtown theater scene and then, you know, at the Public, I feel like is this like titan of theater, especially in the downtown theater scene. What was it like rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty and just doing the damn thing, you know, after observing it for your whole life?
Well, when we moved into the Public, I was like, dude, I like grew up here.
Yeah, was it felt like a homecoming?
It did. It felt like such a homecoming for me. Like, if it was just so weird. It's just sometimes things are just full circle, and it was really special for me because, like, I wasn't in the musical theater world at all when I auditioned for Hamilton. Mm. Like, nobody knew me. Like, I wasn't in a musical. Like, nobody. I really like worked really hard for that role, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And so it was a moment of like, wow, like I'm here and I worked really hard for this and it's like a part of history. And now it's starting in a place that I literally was like running around before all of these like, you know, new construction. I remember when the Public wasn't looking like the Public it looks now. There was no library. There was no, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a great feeling of full circle and kind of like, you know what? Pat on the back, girl.
Right.
Like, you did that.
You put in the work and here you are.
And here you are.
Yeah.
So, and also feels like, it just felt like home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like home. The Public always feels like home, though. I feel like it's just got that homey vibe mm-hmm. about it. And once you do something there, like, you're always welcome back. The doors are always open. And
yeah.
Like, Oscar always tells us that. And he's Oscar Custis. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's, like, the grandfather of theater.
Right!
You know, you're just like, what's up, Oscar? He's just, he's the best.
He's the leader of like the Public tribe.
Yeah.
Like that's their own, you know, community. And it is very like comfortable and mm-hmm. everyone's welcome there.
Yeah.
So if you had to choose a favorite memory from either the Public or Broadway for Hamilton, what do you think it would be?
Oh God, there's so many.
No, that's not even fair. I'm out here asking the tough question.
You know what though? I have two.
Okay.
And it's honestly, it's just the people that I met. Well, no, I've got so many. Oh my God. I don't even know where to begin.
I know this is not right. I shouldn't have done this. We can make it more specific.
Well, I met Beyonce.
Oh. Listen.
I cried my eyes out after I met her. That's all I'm going to say. And
did you get to say thank you to her, or were you just like, I can't?
I don't know. I said a bunch of things that kind of like rolled out of my mouth and I don't remember anything that I said, to be honest, because it was all kind of a blur.
Right.
But all I remember is I was cheesing so hard and no one told me that she was there because they knew if they would have told me during the show, I would have probably freaked out and nothing would have come out of my mouth.
Right.
So,
oh, Lord. See, that's people you can trust. If they're like, we got to have her back.
Yeah. And then they told me and I think I fell to the floor at first. Then I got myself together. Then I hugged her, said whatever I said, because I still don't remember what I said. And then I went to like a corner in a very dark space and I started crying. And Alex Lacamoire saw me and was like, Jasmine. And I was like, oh my God, I just met Beyonce. And then he was like, oh, Jasmine, and just gave me a hug.
That is the sweetest story I've ever heard.
And I cried in his arms. He was just like, I know, I understand.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I actually love that story.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Beyonce album?
Oh God. I mean, Lemonade is absolutely ridiculous. Mm. Sasha Fierce.
Yeah.
Siam Yours.
Yeah. They're all good, honestly.
They're all good. I love them all. I don't think I have a favorite.
But I feel like she's also a good example. Like, it makes sense that she resonates with you because she herself is like transformed in terms of her career.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As you're talking about, you got more things
she's
to do.
She's constantly transforming and like, she's known for her work.
Yeah.
And like her work ethic and like, she's really good at what she does.
Yes. She's an expert at her craft. Shout out to Beyonce if you're listening to this podcast.
I love you, Queenie.
So, and thinking of your own transformation too, like, coming back to the stage.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
I was absolutely terrified.
Great. I love it.
Yeah. I was absolutely terrified. I was like, first lead I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And not only first lead, but I'm opposite Peter Dinklage.
It's very chill. It's very casual.
No big deal. And I was just like, obviously, you know, this came in my lap, and Erica called me and was like, I really want you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you come in and chemistry read? I did. Literally texted me the next day and was like, can you please just play Roxanne? And I was like, okay. And I realized, even though I was absolutely terrified, it was just like, you're not going to do something because like you're fearful.
Right.
Like, it's been one of my biggest learning experiences doing this show of mm-hmm. like being a leading lady, standing up for like what you want, you're sharing your opinions, being, I don't know, I've really grown as an artist doing this production and learned so much just acting beside Pete and Blake and Jenner, Richie Koster. Like, these are all like amazing, amazing actors.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like holding my ground as like the only kind of like woman on the stage,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So with like all of these men, I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot, and it's dope. It's dope. It feels like a bit of a masterclass for me at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, this is probably a hard question too, but like, if you could think of one of the biggest things you've learned, you know, during this process, what it would be.
I trust myself.
Ooh, that's tough.
Yeah. I've really, really, really learned how to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, what I have to say is like super valid.
Yes.
You know, and totally. Like trusting myself and saying like the my opinions and that like they matter and that they contribute and also like help and heighten the whole creative process.
Absolutely.
That's one of the biggest things that I've learned about myself,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Through the fear and through all like the doubts and whatever, because like we all have that, you know what I mean? But really sticking to that and being like, actually, no, what I gotta say is like valid and what I have to say is true. And I know like there's older people here and have done it like so much longer than I have. I mean, Pete's got like what, 4 Emmys and broke a record in that category, like,
right.
But it's just as valid, you know,
like, totally
with some of the things that I have to say. So just trusting myself.
Yeah.
You know?
What was that first performance like? Do you remember it?
I do. And actually it was amazing.
Great.
Because we had been rehearsing so much and so long, and we all like, this cast really, really has worked their butts off. And we were just so ready to do it in mm-hmm. front of an audience and get the energy of the audience, because that helps us realize kind of where we can rehearse and run it. But like when you first have that audience, it really like lets you know like what this piece is and kind of like where people laugh and what works, what doesn't work, and kind of like figuring out where you are in the space and what kind of piece you're in. And working off that energy was just so nice and almost like a breath of fresh air. And we were ready. Like, we were so ready to perform it by the time of the first preview.
Terrell Alvin McCraney once said he was like, the audience is another collaborator because of that very thing. You know, it's like,
very true.
You learn so much, and they show you, their interpretation can inform your performance in a way, you know, or your chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like your Sasha Fierce album. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've ripped the band-aid coming back to the stage, and now you're ready to thrive.
Yeah, girl.
You've been thriving, but I'm saying like this is another step. I could talk to you for hours, but you have to go star in Cyrano right now. So we will take this. We appreciate this. But I just think you're so brilliant. I don't mean to gush over you, but I just think you're a brilliant artist, and I'm so excited to see what is next for you. Mm-hmm. The last two questions, lightning round to wrap it all up, are also not easy questions. So prepare, buckle up.
Okay.
The first one is, if you could recommend a piece of Black art, whether it's a book or a film or a musical album, for our listeners to take in, what would it be?
Ooh. That's such a good question.
Ooh, y'all. Jasmine said that's a good question.
D'Angelo's Voodoo album.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard it. I need to listen to it. I'll let you know. Okay, y'all. D'Angelo, we got our assignment. Half of the listeners are going to be like, really, Felicia? But like, I was a Disney musical theater kid growing up. My bad. Second question. If you could give a shout out to a fellow Black artist, who would it be?
Ooh.
I know. This was really hard. If you want to do like a top three, this is just to give love, to elevate, to amplify.
Shout out to Ephraim Sykes, okay?
Yes.
Who just an announcement that he's playing Michael Jackson.
Don't stop till you get enough. Okay,
that man is so talented.
Yes.
Like beyond, and he's like thriving, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy for him.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Ephraim, look, from like the knee slides and Ain't Too Proud, I mean, all the stuff, he's just got it going on.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you nailed it. And then if folks want to follow you on social media, where can they follow you?
Jazzy _Jones with two S's. I'm like, is that it? Yeah, that's it. And then on Twitter, it's Jazz Cephas Jones. J-A-S Cephas Jones.
It's perfect. Y'all Google her if you can't figure it out. She's everywhere. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. What a great combo.
Yes. Until next time, y'all.